Hi there, this is Monica Hooper with What's Up. I'm joined today by Dexter Singleton, the Director of New Play Development, and Bob Ford, Artistic Director for Theater Squared. On Sunday, Theater Squared announced their 18th season on the heels of the news that Russian Doll Farm, a play that was developed during Theater Squared's Arkansas New Play Festival, took home a prestigious Obie Award. Is one of the first for the state of Arkansas. This season, Theater Squared will show Dial M for Murder, The Band's Visit, A Christmas Carol, What the Constitution Means to Me, Cambodian Rock Band, Laughs Spanish, Fat Ham, and The Responders. Dexter and Bob stopped by to talk about a few of those titles with me. Thank you for joining me today. Can you tell me how you chose the plays for this season?
Oh, man. Dexter, you want to answer that?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. It's always a very interesting process at Theater Squared. Bob and Martin have been always very, open to having staff input in the season, so which is really amazing because we have such a, phenomenal, experienced staff and a diverse staff, and so it's always great to be able to get that input. So the process usually starts for us really at the end of the season, near the end of the season before, and we just start to get a bunch of plays, and we take just all the plays that we are excited about as a company, and then plays people have seen, heard about, read about in whatever publication, and we just read. And as our artistic staff, and we take a few months to just read plays, and then eventually what happens is we form a season planning committee that's made up of staff at the theater, and we start to pass the plays to them, the ones that we like, and say, what do you think about these? Give us some input about, the characters, plot line, story, blah, 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 how it might appeal to an audience, and people from various departments to have their input about how it might affect their department or, the people that they work with, and then we just talk about those plays, and then from that very robust list, we narrow that down to sort of a final list, and then there's some discussion around, those plays, and then that's eventually narrowed down to the list of plays that we come up with for the season. So very long process, takes, 6 months or so to kind of come up with each year, and we're just, trying to always leave no stone unturned to find that gorgeous play, and having a mix of plays that musicals, older plays that people may be familiar with, plays that maybe have just come off of runs in New York or off Broadway that people may know from that extent, and then new plays and plays we've developed, and so just a wide range of things that create a really diverse lineup of comedy and drama and things that make you think about the world that we live in.
Wonderful.
The tricky part is coming up with the balance. So you're like, sometimes you might, it's like a meal really. You might sit down and like, oh, this is six desserts and one bowl of peas, that is really, really tricky. Coming up, and there is always, it always happens in the very final, hours before our internal deadline. We find that play that just kind of, oh, there it is. Now we have the perfect balance, And I think we did that. I think maybe this year it was Dial M for Murder that was that, just came in at the last second. Martin came in and said, hey, this other theater's doing this. They want to maybe do it with us as a co-production. And I thought, wow, I never would have thought of that piece. But somehow in that moment, it was the perfect, there it is. There's the icing on the cake right there. We're done.
Yeah, and the play Dial M for Murder is going to open our season next year. A lot of people may know the play. If you know sort of the old movies, classics, you may know the Alfred Hitchcock movie version of it. But this is a adapted version by Jeffrey Hatcher that was originally, based on the original script that was written by Frederick Knott. And it'll be, you know, I think a really, you know, fresh way to see a classic that people may remember from black and white days, and bringing it, you know, updating it and bringing it forward for, you know, a new generation. So something that appeals to, you know, older and younger audiences alike. But, you know, who doesn't love a thriller, right? Mm-hmm. It's a thriller and should be exciting for people to see.
I'm curious about Dial M for Murder. Do you know which theater you're planning on putting that one in? Because it seems like that would be, because you have the Black Box Theater where you feel like you're very much inside of the play. So were you thinking about it for that? Or is,
oh, man.
You or should, is that oh. a spoiler?
No, no, we should absolutely, you should have been in those conversations. That's actually, I love that idea. It will actually be in West Theater, which is the larger of the two spaces.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is part of the process, too, is mm-hmm. Which play wants to live in which space. And really, all plays could live in both spaces. And we love that, the smaller space. So, yeah, that would have been good. But it's also a question of our production department and,
right.
you know, what makes the most sense set-wise. Is it going to be a big set? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
Do you know, was Dial M for Murder something that was originally developed for this stage? I don't know if that was a Hitchcock play originally or if it was the other gentleman who you just mentioned who had originally done that. So I just kind of wonder if you're moving something from the screen to a theater, if that kind of... if that affects the way you would stage it, of course.
Totally, yeah. It did start as who's the playwright?
The original writer of it is Frederick Knott, but then this play version is an adaptation by Jeffrey Hatcher.
Okay.
Right, who's a pretty well-known playwright who's written tons of work in the American theater.
Okay.
And he's done something which I won't actually spoil it, but he's done something pretty wonderful that sort of, you know, I think it's still going to be set in the 50s,
uh-huh.
but it speaks to, you know, the contemporary conversation a little bit in it. But mm-hmm. Hatcher's done a lot of adaptation and a lot of original work. He's a wonderful playwright. He also wrote for Columbo, which is that series, which some people may remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's interesting. I don't know how many, I can't think of too many plays that started as a play, became a movie where it really was a hit,
mm-hmm.
and then now 60, 70 years later, a new adaptation.
Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to see it. I think that's going to be a really fun one. I'm also really excited about the band's visit. I understand that was something that was going to play here pre-COVID, and was that at the Walton Arts Center, I believe?
Yeah, I believe it was on their Broadway series, mm-hmm. and then, yeah, we all got hit.
Yeah,
and then they were not able to pick it up again, so it's a rare moment for us where we get to do the Northwest Arkansas premiere of a piece that, and actually... our production, which will be a co-production with this amazing theater just outside of Chicago called Writers Theater, will be the first non-touring, non-Broadway touring production of this show in the country.
Oh, wow, okay. I saw the notes that that it was a collaboration with the Chicago Writers Theater. How often do you work with groups like that at Theater Squared for these types of productions?
Well, we're doing more co-productions, you know, with each season. And it really depends, of just kind of what feels like a good opportunity for collaboration, right? It's about, you know, that particular play or that production, maybe an artist that you want to work with, a particular director. And then, you know, do the our company and another company, how well do we vibe, you know, in terms of the type of work that we want to do, how we want it to impact the community. And Writers Theater, you know, is one of those theaters. We work with a ton of Chicago actors and artists that come here all the time throughout the season. We love Chicago artists. And so this was, I think, just a natural opportunity to really be able to work with, you know, another Chicago theater. Last year, or this season rather, our season opener, It Came From Outer Space, was also a co-production with Chicago Shakespeare Theater. So that was our first collaboration with a Chicago company, and now this is our second one. You know, pretty exciting. And Writers Theater has done amazing work for a great number of years. And so it'll be an amazing opportunity for us to collaborate and bring a wonderful production that, like Bob said, you know, is being seen for the first time in Northwest Arkansas, which is a, you know, big part of what Theater Square do. We want to bring a lot of work that people are seeing for the first time to this area.
Okay. And speaking of Shakespeare, you're going to have, can you talk about Fat Ham?
Ooh, yeah. I just noticed this last weekend, and I was just starting to read the article in the New York Times in the Arts and Leisure section about the playwright and the original director who are preparing it for Broadway in April, about Fat Ham's relationship to Hamlet. I'm going to turn that over to you, actually, because
So it's an exciting play, Fat Ham, written by James Imes, who I've always believed is you know, an underrated playwright, should really be recognized as one of the best in the nation, and has got a tremendous body of work. I've been a fan of his for a long time. I directed another play of his called Kill Move Paradise a few seasons ago, and so was able to start a relationship with him, and just, you know, started to bounce ideas off of him, ask questions, you know, for that particular play. And then he had this other play when I spoke to him called Fat Ham that he had filmed. He had done it in Philly. He's from Philly. And it was during COVID, and so they really didn't have it out there. They filmed it and I think showed it for a couple of weeks online. But you know, there was plans to kind of do something with it. And he said, hey, oh, this is my newest thing, Fat Ham, that's loosely inspired by Hamlet. You know, I read it and I was like, this is amazing. This is an amazing play. And it was already scheduled to play at the Public the next season. Which was last season, and when it opened at the Public, it did so well in New York, sold out a lot of shows, was a really well-reviewed piece, and then immediately was on that trajectory to go to Broadway. I think he's a very clever writer. He has a great insight to what's happening in the world, this play in particular really explores, you know, being who you are, being true to yourself. It's also a play that's led by young adults, mm-hmm. right? Young adult characters. And we love to have a mix in that in our season where we have, you know, just multi-generational in terms of, you know, who's being seen on that stage. And so that's really exciting because it's inspired by Hamlet in such a way that it brings the new generation into this play and captures the heart of what that play is about, but makes it very contemporary, sets it in, you know, a totally different place and contemporary world, with characters who are, you know, characters from today, you know, 2023. And so hopefully it inspires people to then say, wow, this is an exciting play, Fat Ham. Why don't I take a look at Hamlet and see how these two relate?
Yeah.
There's, you know, the moments when Shakespeare actually enters the dialogue. And when it does, it makes my spine tingling. You know, he sets it beautifully and in totally unexpected ways. You almost forget that, oh, that's right. That's where the inspiration for this came from. Mm-hmm. Also, just to point out, I think, you can correct me, Dex, but one of the reasons we're able to do this, even though it's yet to open on Broadway, it's really unusual for a regional theater like Theater Squared to get the rights to produce a show. But I dare say, I think it's Dexter, that connection you have with the playwright going way back, that we were able to kind of exploit. And James was like, yeah, y'all can do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was exciting for him because, you know, it was, you know, he wants to see the show in regional theaters. He wants to see it play all over the country, like any playwright wants their work out there. But, you know, I approached him and we have another partner that we're working with on that one as well, City Theater out of Pittsburgh. So that production is going to start at City Theater. And then that production is going to then move to Theater Square. And so, but he was excited about having two companies in two different parts of the country work together. That, you know, are we're a younger company, haven't been around as long. City Theater is also a company that hasn't been around for ages. So two younger theater companies that have the same, you know, sort of, you know, aesthetic and outlook on sort of how theater should impact the world, like I was talking about earlier. So James was very excited about that. And so they granted us the rights, you know, the opportunity, our two companies. And that's rare. There's not a lot of companies in the country that will be able to present Fat Ham. So very much like Band's Visit, we're going to be one of the few companies in the country to have an opportunity. So you're going to be able to see it people will be able to see it at Theater Square and say, it's not available really anywhere else in the country, right? And that's exciting coming right off of Broadway. And we know it's going to be amazing on Broadway and probably super well reviewed. We may be coming around at, you know, this time next year after we do the show, and there may be Tony Awards and all types of things for that production. Who knows? So we're excited about, you know, where it's going to go next season.
And there's a lot of Tony Award winners on this for this season as well. Can you talk a little bit about how these plays reflect T2's vision to that theater done well and with passion can transform lives and communities?
Yeah. You know, every one of these titles does what theater does beautifully, which is kind of embrace an audience with a story that draws them in and connects them to the characters. And so, and we believe really strongly that it is through that connection, which really involves, you know, both the heart and the mind, but especially the heart, brings an audience, you know, into that world and on that journey, that's where people start to connect with the other. You know, maybe a family or a community that they don't see in their everyday, you know, walk of life. We just closed this gorgeous play called Kim's Convenience, and I don't think there is a Korean-run family-run convenience store anywhere in Northwest Arkansas. I hesitate to be definitive about that, but you know, so here's a world that we get to come into and both see, you know, well, that's different, but then also, oh yeah, that's me up there, you know.
Right.
So that's how that little, you know, broadening that we all experience. That's really, really important to us. And yeah, every one of these plays has compelling story. And maybe, I don't know, Dial M for Murder? Maybe. I think so. But, you know, definitely a play like What the Constitution Means to Me is, you know, we will be drawn into this woman's story. At the same time, we're going to go deep into these amazing kind of arguments about, you know, what the Constitution means in America, what it means for women's rights, and the history of women's rights, and how it played out in this woman's story. And I thought I knew a lot when I went to see the play, but it kind of exploded my world. So, it right down the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you always want to have work that really is thought-provoking, that where people are entertained, you know, whether they're laughing or crying or, you know, thinking about a particular moment. But when they leave the theater, you always want them to be engaged in conversation, right? Mm-hmm. We always want communities to continue to talk on the car ride home, on the walk to the car, at the dinner table, at work, at the, you know, water cooler, wherever. We want the people to continue to talk about these plays and how they impact and then spread that word of mouth. And then it leads to these bigger conversations about, you know, where we are in the world, because all of these plays tackle on, you know, very important, you know, issues and things that we're going through. But it's really that universal connection to people and story that even if somebody that's on stage doesn't look like you, there is a way to connect to them, because at the heart, we're all people. We all want love. We all, need and want certain things, and we're all living in this world and trying to navigate it together, right, as the human race, right? So that's really at the heart of it for the work.
And just kind of touching on that, one of the selections that I'm really excited about was actually Cambodian Rock Band. Mm. I have the band who did the music for that play is one of my personal favorite bands. And so I was so surprised to see that. And that's such an interesting story, too, touching on what the Constitution means to me, because it seems like this is an opportunity to go into the theater and really learn something about the world at large. Was that part of the mission when you were looking at all these plays? Did you look for something that, you know, specifically would broaden people's worldviews and give them kind of an alternate glance at history, but maybe a different way of looking at something?
You know, we kind of almost automatically do that. Like at Theater Squared, this team Dexter was talking about, this sort of advisory group that we put together, and certainly, you know, our artistic team, we kind of are drawn to those plays automatically. So sometimes we have to go, wait a second, you know, we're provoking a lot of thought here. Is there a play where maybe people can just sit back and totally, you know, go mindless? And yeah, it's like in our DNA, I would say. I don't know what your perspective is.
You want work that says something, that speaks to people, that resonates with people. And that's why people come to the theater. If you leave your house and you come out and sit with us for a couple of hours, we want to give you something to really think about, something that's exciting, something that you're not going to see anywhere else, because, you know, people have so many options at home, and especially since the, you know, pandemic and COVID and all the start of these things in the world, it's very easy to just sit at home, sit on your couch, and click that remote. Mm-hmm. And we want to give people a reason and say, this is something you're not going to see anywhere else. Again, it's going to be thought-provoking, it's going to be challenging, it's going to be exciting, it's going to be fun, and you're not going to get this experience anywhere else in Northwest Arkansas. So come out to Theater Square and have a really great time and see a selection of plays that that touch on a world that you might be familiar with, but also might not be familiar with. And what can you learn about that?
I think there's a craving for live anything, certainly live music, but for live theater we don't set out to. We want to provoke thought. You know, all of us are teachers. We've all been in and out of education. We love watching that happen. We love that happen for us. But the essence of it is something that's something beyond that. It's like you feel alive when you go to live theater. You feel reaffirmed as a human being. You feel there's always, even with a difficult play, you know, even with a tragedy, there's a sense of hope that's sort of automatic because we're all in this space together, and with those human beings up there that are exchanging real moments, and I don't know what it is yet exactly, but I know that there's a craving for it, and that when there a lot of new people came in who'd never been into Theater Square to see Kim's Convenience, and I chatted with a lot of them, and you could see they were turned on by the whole idea of coming back to see something live, anything live in the space. Some part of that is provoking thought, like maybe the brain just wants to feel alive with new ideas but also certainly, you know, the heart.
And Cambodian Rock Band is, really captures a high level of theatricality. It's a play that has been an exciting play around the country for a lot of years, for several years. It's been, you know, touring. There's a touring version of it now. It played off Broadway for a bit. And it's, super exciting, just in terms of the theatricality of it. But it's also talking about, very, very, very important you know, social issues, global issues that are affecting our world, and amongst all that, there is all this, you know, there'll be this beautiful acting, beautiful scene work, but then also these moments where it breaks away that become very theatrical with movement and live band playing music,
right,
and then going kind of in and out of these, you know, scenes and moments in this world, and switching sort of, you know, back and forth between those worlds. So at the theatricality and handling a tough subject with such, you know, beautiful dialogue and story is going to be something unique. It's really one of the most unique theatrical experiences that's out there today. Right.
And it's really funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
That Lauren Yee is so smart. And it just, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really our first time presenting a work by Lauren Yee, who has been a, you know, up-and-coming writer in the American theater, young writer for many years, and one that we're excited to introduce to Northwest Arkansas. But it's had a great, great original theater career, writes for TV and film, and does a lot of great work. And so I'm excited to have her here.
I think it's interesting how many of these plays deal with these really kind of gruesome things, and then they're, but it's funny, like on so many of them, especially with, you know, you're talking with Cambodian Rock Band. I mean, this is about the Khmer Rouge, and it's just, it's, and you know, Laughs in Spanish is about a crime scene, and The Responders is, again, it's a crime scene, so it's, I think it says something about the writing that you can take something like that and put a comedic spin on it. Okay, so finally, I wanted to ask, what are you guys most excited about in this upcoming season?
I get completely wrapped up in whatever production is going on, and I fall in love with it again. And often I will see a play, like right now, Sanctuary City is just about to open, and I realize I haven't read this play in a couple of years. It was a couple of years ago that we decided to do it, and then it was, okay, what's the next project, and I just watched the second preview last night, and I remembered, oh, that's what's so amazing. This is a beautiful play. So I'm not answering your question because really what happens is every play that comes up, I remember why I, and really fell in love with it. But Dexter and I both spent a lot of time in the development of new work. Uh-huh. So, you know, one thing that we're really excited about is to be able to, again, do the world premiere of a brand new play, and again by an Arkansas writer, Joseph Ford, who's a young writer out of Little Rock. Mm-hmm. I think this may be his first professional production, and yes, it is very, very funny, and takes us right up to the edge of a really important issue that means a lot to Joseph about returning veterans. And from Afghanistan in this case, but it follows on the heels of. I'll let Dexter talk about this.
Yeah, and our Arkansas New Play Festival, right? Mm-hmm. That plays every summer as well as the other, you know, piece, and it's always the development of new work for a couple of weeks right here in Northwest Arkansas at Theater Squared and a usual community partner. And, you know, and that's a big part of what we do, too. We love new plays. We love newer plays. We love living playwrights. And that always caps our season every, you know, summer or spring. And it'll be the same thing next season of a group of plays coming in, playwrights developing their work that are at different stages. It gives them an opportunity for 2 weeks to just work on their play without, you know, critics or press and all those different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, The Responders was one of those plays that came out of the Arkansas New Play Festival. Also the play Flex that we did, you know, last season, but also developed it at the Arkansas New Play Festival. That play is playing at Lincoln Center this summer. And so that's always exciting when plays have the opportunity to move, and we hope that Responders can have a, you know, really great life after its time. But it's one of those things where people saw it last summer at the festival in a reading. Now next season you have an opportunity to see the full stage version. I'm super excited about Fat Ham, as I, you know, mentioned before, and just to see James work and just to see the response of it, and set amongst this black family, and the Responders, obviously. Cambodian Rock Band is a piece I've loved for a long time, so I'm super excited to see how people respond to that as well. All of these writers are new to Theater Square, so this is the first time that any of these writers will be presented at our theater here. And I don't know, most of these writers, they may not have ever even been presented in Northwest Arkansas or the state of Arkansas at all, possibly, yeah. So this may be Arkansas premieres for all of these writers and regional premieres. So we're super excited about that, and hope people will join us for the ride, you know, all season.
Okay. And I'll just throw in that that the band's visit is a, you know, once in a decade musical. It's just extraordinary, and thrilled that we're able to do it. Probably wouldn't be able to do it all by ourselves, so it's great to have a partner with Writers Theater in Chicago, but that's what I'm really looking forward to, too.
Wonderful. Okay, so last thing. Tell us about the Gala for Education on May 18th.
Yeah, so our annual gala, which is, you know, a real kind of keystone in our development and fundraising efforts, in which we celebrate our absolutely amazing education program team, are able to fund a bunch of free programming, in particular what we are able to raise at that gala goes directly into our schools tour that goes to 80 schools all over Arkansas, both in cities and in rural areas, and even goes over into Missouri and Oklahoma. And it's really a lot of fun. Great food, always great. We always have a kind of a headliner cabaret performer that's always really fun. And they're also, those performers are always really invested in, you know, in the cause as well.
Right.
And then we give out a couple of awards, our Arts Advocate Award. And then always love, we every year identify a teacher from somewhere in the state of Arkansas and kind of uplift their work and them and as part of the awards ceremony as well. So yeah, we're about to send out, Save the Date cards, so.
Well, I wish you luck in that, and I can't wait for all of these amazing shows at Theater Squared, and I'll let you gentlemen get back to your day.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us.